message that we've heard. I pray that the Lord will bless that truth and the preaching about the truth to sink down in our ears, find a lodging place in our hearts, and we might rejoice in it for many days to come. I trust that what we have to say will be in accordance with the truth, but I want to take another direction as far as a subject this morning. By the way, it's good to be back home. It's nice to visit once in a while, but it's good to be back home, and I'm thankful for this opportunity this morning. I'd like to call your attention to John chapter 19, verse 17. John 19, verse 17. If you'll remember what's happening in this chapter, you know that Jesus was about to be crucified. As Brother Thomas had said, they had taken him to Caiaphas and then to Annas and then to Pilate and Herod, back to Pilate. I mean, just from one place to another. But they finally, the scriptures tell us, it's pretty plain in the scripture that Pilate wanted to release Jesus. At least three times he said, "I find no fault in him." And he wanted to release him. But the people, now there's a lot here, but I'm just to introduce this thought. back at verse 12, John 19, verse 12. "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend.'" Now that got Pilate's attention. If word got out that he's not Caesar's friend, then he's not going to be Pilate much longer. Okay? So it says, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Some years ago, Brother Thomas was pastor here. Elder Doyle Hurst was here one weekend. We happened to be here to hear him. And Brother Doyle announced that he was going to preach something today that's going to knock your socks off. I like something like that. Do you remember I know some of you were here. Do y'all remember what he preached about? What he preached about was, if you had been there, if you'd have been there, and Pilate would have said, "What shall I do with Jesus?" What would you have said? Release him? Or let him go? I'm sorry. Release him or crucify him? What would you have said? "Well, preacher, I would have voted to release him." Really? "Well, I would want him to be released." You know, that's what the flesh would think. But the truth demanded that he be crucified. How do we know the truth demanded that? The Old Testament prophets had already spoken. When Psalm 22 said, "They pierced my hands and my feet," that wasn't stoning. That would be a Roman crucifixion. And when Jesus cried out in Psalm 22, verse 1, when it said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus wasn't quoting David when he was on the cross. David was speaking in prophecy of what Jesus would say when he would be put upon the cross. And so, what I was getting to is verse 17. And he bearing his cross. And he bearing it. Preacher, it's not Easter. This is good all year round. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And of course, they wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The Jews didn't like that. They said, no, don't say that he's king of the Jews. Say that he said he was king of the Jews. Remember what Pilate said? What I've written, I've written. What I want to call your attention to this morning is three crosses. Three crosses. Yes, there were three crosses. And I remember years ago, Elder Sonny Pyle preached about the three crosses from this perspective. And it's really not what I want to deal with at most, but I want to bring in what he said about it. He spoke about those three crosses, that when you look at those three crosses, from everything that we can gather from the scripture, there was one man that was dying in his sins. Because he showed no evidence of believing that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus had said in John 8:24, I believe it is, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That man gave no evidence that he believed that Jesus was the Christ. So from just our what we can tell from the scripture, we're not going to judge the man's heart, but it appears he was dying in his sins. There was another man on the other side of Jesus that at one time he also was railing accusations against the Lord, but he had a change of heart. And when he had a change of heart, he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. There's evidence there that that man died to sin. He became aware. It seems the Lord quickened him on that cross, and he became aware that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And so he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Seems like he died to sin. But our Lord, in the middle, on the middle cross, our Lord was dying for the sins of his people. Isn't that, didn't the angel tell Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins? And that's what he was doing on that middle cross. He was dying for the sins of his people. Now that was, I'll just share that with you in the beginning. But there's three, I want to talk about a cross in three different ways. And I want to focus mainly on the Lord Jesus. He's the truth, isn't he? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way we're saved from our sins. He's the way of truth. He showed us the way of truth. He manifested the truth. He is the truth. Pilate at one occasion said, what is truth? And Pilate was looking the truth square in the face. And so, first of all, I want to focus on the cross that Jesus was nailed to. And when they led him out, John 19:17 said, and he bearing his cross. He bearing his cross. You know, that was a cross that men laid upon him. Men laid that cross upon him. They wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the picture. They wanted him crucified. You don't have to read very far in the account of the gospel to find that they wanted to destroy Jesus. And they sought any way they could, and finally, they got their wishes. But while they got what they wanted, at the same time, God was unfolding his eternal purpose. Do you remember Acts 2:23? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This is what God intended. This is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So while they got exactly what they wanted, God's purpose was also being unfolded. But what they did, they laid a wooden cross upon him. You know, if you compare all the accounts of Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them that make mention of this, you'll find in one account of it, it says that they, when he was led out to be crucified, they offered him vinegar mixed with gall. And what that was supposed to do is that person being crucified, it was supposed to be like something that would relieve the pain, and it would kind of relieve them of their senses so that they wouldn't feel or wouldn't experience the pain as much as they would have otherwise. But when they offered him the vinegar and the gall, he refused it. You know, what if he'd have taken that? Just very briefly here. What if he had taken that vinegar and gall? Then all those statements of truth that he spoke from the cross, they could have said, well, he didn't know what he was saying. He was out of his head. He had that vinegar and that gall. He didn't know what he's saying. But he refused that. He didn't take that. He knew exactly what he was saying. He knew exactly what the Father would have him to do. And so as he bearing his cross, he refused that vinegar and gall, and he bore that cross to the full extent of his strength. And when he, when they compelled Simon the Cyrenian to bear his cross for the rest of the way, I don't see that as any defeat. I don't see that as a failure. I see our Savior giving every ounce of strength that he had in doing the will of the Father. He bearing his cross. That cross was given, that cross was laid on him by men. And so we find that even though they laid that cross upon him, I want to focus on another cross. And it's the cross, it's the real cross that's being spoken of there, because it's the cross that the Father laid upon him to bear. The Father sent him to do a work. That work was going to have to be accomplished on the cross. He had to do it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What cup? The cup of his sufferings, the cup of what he would have to endure. He knew what was facing him. He knew what lay ahead of him. You know, Hebrews 12 says, For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He knew there was a joy set before him. He knew what he had to accomplish. And that was the cross the Father laid upon him to accomplish what he was sent to do. Remember John chapter 6 when he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's what the Father sent him to do. That was the cross he had to bear. And so we find in John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is what he came to do, was to bear the cross the Father would lay upon him. Of course, if you go back to Isaiah 53, I just love Isaiah 53, don't you? I don't like to have to think about what Jesus had to suffer and endure on our behalf, but I am thankful that he did it. And we know Isaiah 53 speaks of our Lord Jesus, because Philip in the book of Acts joined himself to that chariot that Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah, and it tells us what he was reading. And what he was reading we know today as Isaiah 53. All right? So listen to what the Father sent him to do. Listen to the cross that he had to bear in saving us from our sins. Isaiah 53, just briefly, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He had more upon him than just a wooden cross. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. You hear that? He had no sin about him. As Brother Thomas said, they struggled to try to find something that they could accuse him of to get him to the cross. Pilate even told them, take him and judge him according to your law. And they said, well, it's not lawful for us to put anybody to death. They wanted him dead. All right? Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. All right? So Isaiah 53 speaks of what he was accomplishing as God laid upon the cross upon him. All right? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, as we think about all that he endured, it was our sins that nailed him to that cross. It was our sins and his love for us in doing the Father's will and his love for us. That's what kept him upon the cross. You know, those mockers, they said, come down from the cross if thou art be able to save thyself and us. I like what Dr. Lockridge said a long time ago. He said, you know, he was going to show them that it would be better to come forth from the tomb than to come down from the cross. Bless your hearts. That cross the Father laid upon his Son for him to endure to save us from our sins. Did he do it? Did he finish it? Well, I'm going to have to skip some verses here, but let's drop down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to a grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. That is, the Father was looking down upon his Son while he was on the cross. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Bless your hearts. The Father was satisfied with what his Son did as he finished the work the Father gave him to do. There's so much more that we could say about that cross, and there's plenty of time for us to preach about that cross, but I want to get to a third one. See, the first one was what men laid upon him. He had to endure that. The second one we talked about was what the Father laid upon him, and he had to endure that. But guess what? In all that he's done for us, and in all that he suffered out of love and mercy and compassion, and all that he did for us, he suffered and died. He gave every ounce of strength that he had. He shed every drop of blood that he had to save us from our stinking sins. That's what he did for us. Well, is there anything we could do for him? Is there anything we can do that would show our love? You've already heard it once this morning, or maybe a couple of times. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, if we desire to show forth thanksgiving for all that he suffered and died for, suffered and gave for us, if we want to show our love and thanksgiving and appreciation for what he did, there's a third cross. There's another cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I heard some amens. Thank you. Is that necessary? You know, in the Old Testament, there were laws and there were penalties and there were punishments. And that law was given to train us up. We were to be trained to observe the Word of God. And there were penalties and there were consequences for breaking the law. But in the New Testament, while it's still good for us to do God's word, he calls upon us to show our love to him. He calls upon us to show that we appreciate and we love him because of what he did in saving us from an eternal punishment and separation from God. So I would ask you, I think we're getting to that point where Brother Jamie prayed this morning. It might not be what we want to hear, but I sure hope it's what we need to hear. So here it is. How much time this past week have you spent showing the Lord that you loved him? Could anybody look at your life over the last week and say, that person is a child of God. That person loves the Lord. That person's thankful for their salvation. That person is using what God has given them for God's glory. You know, you'll have to answer that. I can't. My point that I pray that I can drive home before we close here is, he said, If any man will come after me, meaning if any man will be like me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. That is not, by the way, if you're reading that from the book of Luke, he says, take up his cross daily. So that's not a one and done. That is something that we can look at as far as our initial repentance and turning to God and being baptized and beginning our walk with the Lord in the church. But it's also something we need to concentrate on every day we live. We need to continue to show forth his praises. We need to continue to show forth that we love the Lord. We need to continue to let our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father. So this cross is a cross of discipleship. So how do we show the world that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus? It's not just sitting around doing nothing. All right? There's something we need to be doing to show forth. Now, when I say sitting around doing nothing, praying is not nothing. If we're praying to God, if we're doing those things which are pleasing unto him, that's a great work that we need to continue. All right? But what I'm saying is, it requires some action. It requires a response. It's not just a one-way thing. We need to reply to God. We need to respond to his love. We need to respond to his mercy. We need to respond to the work the Father sent his Son to do for us. And that is in keeping his commandments, in loving one another, and in trying to do those things which are pleasing unto the Lord. See, it's what we do that gives him glory. John chapter 15, verse 8 or 9. John 15, he says, herein is my Father glorified. Okay, I'm interested in what glorifies the Lord. And I know it's God's people who are the only ones who can do that. So are we doing that? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Don't leave me yet. So shall you be my disciples. He calls us. He blesses us with the love, and he blesses us with faith, but he intends for us to use it for his glory and for the blessing of those around us, and it'll be a blessing to us as well. This third cross is something we can work on. It's something we can do to show our love to him, to reflect the love that he's given to us, reflect it back into the world, and let others see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So this cross of discipleship is not automatic. It's, you know, Jesus said in the example of the feet washing, he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. All right? There's a happiness, there's a joy that comes in responding to God and doing what we know. All right? So this cross is a cross of discipleship. And not only is it discipleship, not only does it show that we love the Lord, but it might also be one that would involve fellowship with his sufferings. You know, Jesus said, if any man, wrong verse. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Living a godly life, taking up our cross and following him, showing our love to others, keeping the commandments, okay? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh. So it's not all a bed of roses, is it? There may be some thorns there for us to endure. If we're going to live a godly life, we may suffer some persecution. Do you know the world hated Jesus? And he told his disciples, they hated me before they hated you. So, if we love the Lord, we need to realize what we do in service to the Lord and in that which is pleasing to the Lord and living according to truth and standing according to truth and bearing witness to the truth is not going to be well received by the world at large. But it will bring glory to God. It'll bring glory to him. Well, there's no choice then I wish everybody would love the Lord. I wish everybody would do that which is pleasing to him. But if it's going to come down to choices, I want to please God. The disciples told that Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so as we think about, yeah, there was a cross that men laid upon Jesus. But there was a greater thing that God laid upon his son as a cross for him to bear. But he gives us a cross. Let's not neglect that cross of discipleship. I just feel like this is needful. I taught this Wednesday night, and when I came down out of the pulpit, I just had this distinct impression that I need to preach that again on Sunday morning. I don't usually do that, but I did. And then when Brother Jamie prayed what he prayed, and what Brother Thomas preached what he preached, it was just confirmation to me. God is telling us we need this lesson. Does our light need to shine a little brighter? Do we need to be a little more mindful of how we're a disciple? Not just the child of God, but a disciple. Showing it to the world. You don't have to run around telling everybody you're born again and you don't have to do that. You can do it by the way you live your life. You can do it by the way you make your choices. You can do it by the things that you say, by the things that you love. That's how we show real love for God to others. And so, there was a wooden cross they laid upon him. There was the cross the Father gave him to bear. And there is a cross for us to bear, to show our love and our appreciation and our thankfulness to God for the grace of the gift of His Son, for eternal life, and for the joy that we can have now while we live this life here. May God help us to take up our cross and follow Him in a greater sense than we have in the past. May God bless you is our prayer.